I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome to The Brand is Female. This week, my guest is Michelle Faber, founder and CEO of Little Yogis, who's working to bring movement and mindfulness enrichment programs to kids everywhere. If you've ever wondered how to build a business in the wellness space successfully, you'll enjoy our chat.
This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through their educational workshops, financing, and mentorship programs. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help.
Little Yogis aims to improve physical, mental, and emotional health through wellness classes and workshops for everyone within the school and childcare community, including students, school administrators, teachers, and parents. Serving close to 300 schools in two countries already, Little Yogis has adopted a franchising model to ensure growth and reach as many kids in schools as possible. Michelle learned to optimize her own mental health through yoga and mindfulness as a young adult, and when she saw signs of anxiety in her son, she began sharing her favorite practices with him. Seeing how much his emotional control and overall happiness improved inspired her to create a company that would help other children in the same way, and in 2019, she founded Little Yogis. In today's episode, you'll hear about Michelle's approach to growing her company, building storytelling and brand pillars that amplify her dedication to mindfulness, and developing a business model that is scalable as a franchise. Here's our conversation. Michelle, it's such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for making time to speak with me.
Thank you for having me.
So I like to start this conversation typically by going back in time. And I'm curious to know, when you were a young girl growing up, what kind of career were you dreaming of? What kind of future professional path were you imagining for yourself? And was it at all connected to what you're actually doing today?
Certainly. So when I was younger, I always had a strong desire to pursue something creative. So as a child, I was really drawn to the visual arts. Painting, drawing, I loved expressing myself through various mediums. And my dream was to really channel that creatively into a meaningful and fulfilling career. So I think that's what really drew me to marketing and brand building. At its core, marketing is about storytelling, and that's where the true beauty of creativity comes into play. It's the art of crafting narratives, visuals, and experiences that captivate and resonate with people on a deeper level. So I think that's what really allowed me to flourish in my entrepreneurship, just to be able to brand build and create something for myself.
And tell me a little bit about, you know, your studies or where that took you. You've mentioned being interested in all things creative. So what kind of path were you first pursuing?
So I went to school for visual arts, actually. So I took both art history and visual arts at the University of Toronto. And I always dreamt of doing something creative, but I quickly realized that perhaps being an artist wasn't the most lucrative career. So I decided to take another path. And I had a long career in corporate marketing before I entered the world of entrepreneurship.
And well, let's talk about that shift that you made. So was it kind of something that was always, you know, in the back of your head, or was it something that you discovered over time as you were working in marketing and in the corporate world, that you were kind of dreaming of owning your own business today? How did that realization take place?
So my path to entrepreneurship really began with a deep-seated desire for freedom and autonomy. I vividly remember sitting in cafes and observing people engrossed in their work on laptops and feeling this overwhelming yearning for that type of independence. Witnessing individuals who were able to shape their own destinies and build something meaningful really sparked a fire within me to pursue a similar path. And I just always knew I wanted to do something for myself that I was passionate about.
And it turns out it has something to do with yoga. So Where did the interest in yoga come from? Was it something you were already practicing, you know, as the years went by? And when did you realize it might be a business idea?
Mm-hmm. So yoga has always been a strong part of my life. So I started practicing in my early 20s. My mom had bought, you know, a VHS tape of yoga. I tried it and I absolutely fell in love. I have a long history of chronic anxiety, which turned into depression. And I had a lot of difficulties growing up. And it was yoga that truly allowed me to become more grounded, calm, happy. And I just remember I loved it so much. And I wanted to do something with yoga. I just didn't know what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were on kind of this, you know, path to becoming a founder and an entrepreneur. Was there somebody who inspired you? Were there role models you were looking up to, or somebody that was kind of, you know, the inspiration for what you were hoping to build?
Yeah, I mean, again, there isn't one particular person who really inspired me. I think, you know, growing up, I was always really pushed to have a traditional job, 9 to 5, you know, get that pension. So risk was never really a factor in my life growing up. Looking at my parents, they had government jobs and they really wanted me to pursue a path as a teacher, actually. So, you know, I just think it was always ingrained in me that I had this passion to do something on my own. And I wanted to break free from that traditional societal norm. I don't know what it was. So it was really during my second maternity leave with my son, Ryan, that I just kept thinking about creating something for myself and having these, you know, creative visions of what I could build on my own. And that's what really sparked me to take action.
So tell me about taking action and what did it look like at first? Was it, you know, did you kind of build your entire business plan before you actually started the business? Or is it something that, you know, you jumped in first and then put some of the steps together later?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I absolutely just dove right in. I started thinking about creating a yoga business for children throughout my maternity leave. I had this vision because my older son, Jaden, he had started showing those same symptoms I had as a child. So I could tell he was really anxious. We started doing some yoga together, very age appropriate, also some breathing exercises. And I thought, wow, it's really working so well for him. You know, why don't we have this in childcare and schools? I found it quite shocking that we don't teach children these necessary tools to just thrive as human beings and grow into thriving adults. So I thought, okay, maybe this is something I could do. I didn't think that it would become so large as it did. I thought I would teach yoga on my own. I started volunteering at local childcares and schools. And we quickly grew to a team of over 20 teachers within 6 months. Just the demand was there. And I thought, okay, something is really special about this. And that's when I truly started digging down and thinking about how I can build this into a sustainable, profitable business, dug deeper into a business plan and brand building activities. So it kind of evolved naturally.
And why do you think there isn't, you know, more that's already part of school curriculum or childcare programs? You know, we're having more conversations about mental health. Mm-hmm. We know mental health begins very early and this is something that children experience. Why is it that we haven't, you know, as a society done more to integrate that into school programs?
You know, I don't know truly what the answer is. I think traditionally education has always focused on, you know, those traditional subjects, English, math, science. And I truly believe that adults just always thought, well, kids are resilient, you know, kids are resilient, they're fine, and they'll learn these tools as they grow. But many parents and educators just think that it's almost inherent and natural for a child to have this ability to get through tough times. And I think really the silver lining of the pandemic really showed us that kids aren't that resilient. They're not as okay as we think they are.
Right.
And they need to be taught these tools. Some grow up and still don't have these tools as adults, right? And so you're seeing that, you know, and I truly believe that's what happened to me. I, you know, suffered from anxiety. I didn't know what it was. I had all these physical symptoms. And so that eventually manifested into depression as an adult. And I think if I was given those tools at a young age to identify what was going on with my body, and given the tools to help me through that, I think I would have had an easier childhood and you know, going into my 20s and university, I think it would have been much easier. So that's really what we have to focus now on in schools and as parents, to really give our children these tools to thrive so that they're better off as adults.
What kind of space do you think there is for entrepreneurs who are thinking of, you know, creating a program that is, you know, kind of complementary to what's offered in the traditional education system? So something similar that you might be doing, because it sounds like there's really a gap in what's being offered in schools. And do you think that this is, and I've had a conversation recently on a podcast with someone who has kind of an educational platform, you know, different than yours, doesn't focus on yoga, but it seems that there is that, you know, increased need, and parents are looking for solutions to help support their kids' development and mental health overall. So do you think this is an area where we might see some interesting kind of new business prospects in the next few years?
Absolutely. You know, I think many of us are realizing, and you're seeing it a lot in the media, that perhaps the educational system is not okay. Educators need help. The school communities need help. And so I'm seeing a lot of new businesses really pop up that help support not only the students, but school staff. So coming up with these enrichment experiences that just foster well-being, teach students new ways of thinking. We're also seeing many new STEM programs pop up, as we realize STEM is a wonderful a tool for children and helps their minds really flourish. So I think if anyone is wanting to get into this world, absolutely follow your passion. It is definitely a mission-driven business, right? So be prepared for some obstacles because really our school system is historically just static. It's hard to change. So there's a bit of an uphill battle, a bit of a fight, right? So you have to be truly passionate, wake up every single day wanting to further your mission, educating people on why they should include your curriculum into traditional curriculum, and really believe in your purpose. And that's when what's going to be heard by the educational system and make you successful.
And going back to your business, so when you launched and you quickly saw that, you know, it was growing more rapidly than you expected, what kind of obstacles did you face? What kind of challenges? And maybe that rapid growth was a challenge in itself, but tell me about kind of a major obstacle you overcame in those first few years.
Sure. I hope we have a lot of time. So, So of course, starting and running a business is exciting and rewarding, but it does come with its fair share of challenges, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the obstacles I faced were, one, definitely managing time and workload. So as an entrepreneur, wearing multiple hats, juggling numerous responsibilities can be overwhelming. So balancing the demands of the business, managing day-to-day operations, finding time for personal well-being and growth requires effective time management and prioritization skills, which I definitely quickly had to learn. Another is just dealing with uncertainty. So the unpredictable nature of entrepreneurship can be daunting. So navigating through uncertainty, making those difficult decisions and staying focused during challenging times really can test your resilience and determination. And lastly, I think just building a strong team. So finding and retaining talent who share my passion and vision was another significant challenge. So building that cohesive team that can work together effectively, especially in a competitive market, required really diligent recruitment, onboarding, and creative, just a creative, positive work culture. So I think overcoming all of those obstacles were key to my success.
Well, and glad you were able to develop those skills along the way, and that shows your own resilience.
This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise, and they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice, plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD Services for Women in Business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and they engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can all share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business.
How did you go about kind of, you know, letting the community know about your services? And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs who offer a platform that has to do with education or, you know, similar services, the route to market, like, you know, the marketing plan is not necessarily obvious. So what worked well for you in creating that community and building a following for the services you offer?
That's a great question. So I built my business just off of real grassroots marketing in the community, making sure that I was present, that I was at every community event, every parent council meeting, every, you know, school fair, just telling people about my services. But also leveraging social media was key for me. So I started marketing via Instagram. And I quickly grew a significant community on Instagram through just offering free content and free resources.
Amazing.
I think being successful on social media, it's not about selling, selling, selling every single day. You have to offer something valuable. What does your customer or consumer really want to hear? So by offering that free content, free tips for educators and parents, I started getting that large following. And then that quickly grew to growing my in-person business, right? Because people thought of me as a thought leader within the space. And they wanted me to be at their child center or school because I had all that valuable information.
And today, how do you kind of manage growth? And is the plan for you to keep expanding, you know, add teachers? Is it something you want to take to other markets, for example? What does the growth strategy look like?
Yeah, so, you know, really on my vision board for this year, I am laser focused on scaling my business. So, right now, we are mostly within Ontario. We are about to expand globally, which is really exciting and will be announced soon. But I'm just laser focused on ensuring that we are able to reach as many kids as possible within Canada. So expanding to other provinces, finding those wonderful franchisees who also believe in our mission and vision for Little Yogis, right? So that's, I think, the most important part is finding those people who are aligned with your vision, and then they will help me scale my business further. So just making sure that we have great people on board in our community, and that way we'll reach more schools, more childcares, and more families within Canada.
That's really exciting. Congratulations on those next steps. You've mentioned a concept of franchising, which is really interesting. And we had the founder of the 10 Spot recently on the show. And this is something she was able to do quite successfully. And it's kind of the key to growth for her company now. How do you ensure kind of that strong, you know, work culture, that strong brand culture for your organization as the team grows, as you're looking to partner with, you know, other franchisees or other partners in different markets? How do you ensure that the culture stays true to what you've envisioned since day one?
For me, it's about being a very strong leader and voice within the organization. So that involves inspiring, guiding, and empowering others to reach their full potential and collectively achieving a common goal. So ensuring we all clearly understand what our mission is and how we're going to get there, carving that path so that everyone understands what we're going to do. We also have this strong sense of purpose, right? So I make sure that I articulate in a compelling direction for the team and organization, inspiring others to align their efforts and work towards one objective, which is reaching more kids with our yoga and mindfulness curriculum. So, because my business is a mission business, I need my team to feel that same sense of passion and purpose that I do each day. And that really translates through.
Amazing. And it sounds like you're heavily involved and you're kind of having those discussions internally and externally on an ongoing basis. So it very much takes place through your leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hold monthly town halls where we discuss, you know, changes within the organization. We just refresh ourselves and recenter on, you know, why are we doing this every day? Because when you're working on a service business and you're experiencing the highs and lows of entrepreneurship, it can be hard to stay grounded and ensure that we remember why we are doing this. So having those meetings coming together as a community and having all the franchisees really sit down and share wins and what they're seeing in their markets, it's just inspiring. And we always leave those town halls feeling truly inspired to keep going.
And what kind of advisors have you, do you find you've had to kind of call on, or, you know, the kind of network that you've had to build around yourself, especially as you're managing these next stages for the company's growth? And, you know, for some people, they really needed help with the, you know, financing, or they really needed help with their HR strategy. So what is it for you? What are those kind of trusted players that you rely on?
So for me, I've really reached out to other female entrepreneurs within the community who are doing something similar, but not direct competitors. So female entrepreneurs that have had successful businesses or careers within the education space, and just, you know, leaning on them as mentors. So, you know, sometimes running a business on your own can feel really lonely. So just reaching out to my network and being able to bounce those ideas off of other entrepreneurs can be really comforting and can help me make those level-headed decisions. So, you know, I've had a lot of mentors along the way, both in just entrepreneurship, but also franchising as well. Because when I started franchising, it was a whole new world, a big, big learning curve, right? There's a lot to learn, and I'm still learning every single day. So I really lean on those leaders to help guide me through.
Mm. And did you find it was easy kind of reaching out and, you know, getting support or getting help from either the women entrepreneurs or the experts that you were trying to work with?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was quite surprised because being in the corporate environment prior to being an entrepreneur, I didn't feel like there was that same sense of community amongst my female coworkers, right? Mm-hmm. It felt a bit more competitive, which is interesting. So I thought it would be the same in this entrepreneurial space. But when I reached out, I got such great feedback. These female leaders wrote back right away, were willing to have a virtual coffee or in-person lunch with me, and were willing to just share their challenges, their learnings that they've learned along the way. And what was also really valuable was they were willing to connect me with other people in the community that could help further my goal and mission. So I always left feeling really great and positive about these experiences, right? I feel like women entrepreneurs, we really, it's a great collective and we all just really want to help each other succeed, right? Because sometimes it feels like it's a really male dominated space. We don't have access to the same things that our male counterparts do. So we kind of were forced to get together and make sure that we help each other succeed.
Yeah, and create our own kind of informal networks. It's interesting you say that. I've observed the same thing. The support from other women is completely different in, you know, from the corporate world.
Yes.
And this is a theme that comes up a lot with women entrepreneurs on the show. And they talk about how they've reached out to people they were admiring in the business community, other female founders. And then it was very easy to get, you know, an introduction or a coffee or a meeting.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing to hear. But it'd be great if women could experience that in the corporate world as well.
Yes. Yes. We can only hope one day with progress.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You've talked about, you know, the support you get from fellow women entrepreneurs. What's a way that we can do more as business owners, but also as consumers, to support other female founders?
Yes, absolutely. So I think there's two key ways that we can better support fellow women entrepreneurs. So one is investing in women-led businesses. So if you have the means, consider investing in women-led businesses or supporting crowdfunding campaigns. By providing that financial support, you contribute to their growth and help level the playing field in accessing capital for women. Also, promote and celebrate their achievements. Amplify the voices and success of women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Share their stories, their products, services through social media or word of mouth, or collaboration opportunities. So by highlighting their accomplishments, we contribute to increased visibility and recognition.
Absolutely. Yeah. All very good advice. What would be your top three pieces of advice for, speaking of helping other women entrepreneurs, what would be your top three pieces of advice for them?
Yes. So my top three pieces of advice for entrepreneurs, there are three essential tips to consider. So one, believing in yourself and your ideas. Key. So having that confidence and self-belief are crucial when venturing into entrepreneurship. Just believe in your abilities, value your unique perspectives, and have faith. I've heard from so many fellow female entrepreneurs where they felt like, I don't belong in those C-suite meetings or boardrooms. I just felt like an outsider. So having that confidence and believe that you should also be there. Another tip seek knowledge and build a support network, just as we were talking about. So invest time in acquiring knowledge and skills relevant to your business idea. So educate yourself about your industry, market trends, best practices in entrepreneurship, and surround yourself with a supportive network of mentors, advisors, and fellow entrepreneurs. And three, I think taking calculated risks and embracing failure. So entrepreneurship inherently involves taking risks, but it's important to approach them with a calculated mindset. So assess the potential risks and rewards of each decision, gather that relevant information, and make informed choices. So embrace failure as a stepping stone to success. I've made so many mistakes along the way. And when I look back, I think all of those mistakes and all those failures in the moment didn't feel good. We all know they don't feel good. But now I look back and I think, I am so glad I failed, that I didn't go on that route, because it was not meant for me, or it would have taken my business in a direction where I don't think it should have been. So I truly believe those failures are there to help us learn and to help guide us in a direction where we're supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. And in closing, and I'm especially interested in hearing your answer as somebody who, you know, you help teach kids how to kind of, you know, the tools to more of a mental balance and relaxation. What kind of things do you have to do in your own kind of daily life to make sure that you're feeling like you're in balance and, you know, not losing focus and trying to really be the best version of yourself that you can be?
So being an entrepreneur, I have to make my well-being a priority, or I will quickly experience burnout. It's so funny, throughout my entrepreneurial journey, there were so many times that people close to me said, Michelle, you need to take your own advice, right? So it's easy to tell other people to be mindful or take care of themselves. But if you're not doing it either, you're not going to be able to make those level-headed decisions every single day. So I truly make my yoga and mindfulness practice a priority daily. If I don't feel like doing it, I force myself. So I set aside even a few minutes each day for yoga or meditation. This helps me stay calm. It makes my mind calm. It gives me a little reset so that I don't feel overwhelmed. And then I also truly believe in the power of nature. So spending time in nature, whether it's a walk in the park or simply sitting outside in my backyard, helps me truly reconnect with the present moment. And just paying attention to those sights and sounds and sensations around you can truly be a grounding experience. And I highly recommend it.
All very good advice. And I love that you have to remind yourself to follow your own
advice. Yes, we all do.
Exactly. It's always easier to tell somebody else.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It was great learning more about your journey and wishing you the best for what's coming. Looking forward to hearing about all the new developments for Little Yogi. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ava. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you to TD Women in Enterprise for their support of The Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and click on the TD logo. Thank you for listening today. If you did enjoy the show, don't forget to leave a review and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you so much for listening to a podcast by The Brand is Female. I'm Ava Hertling, and this episode was produced by our team. Sound engineering by Isabel Morris. Research and production support, Claire Miglionico.